Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
5 years ago today, the sports world shut down for COVID. I went into a deep depression at that point.
Was this the weekend to dawn that Montgomery County officially shut down?
Yeah, remember, we were the first in the nation.
Because of the King of Prussia doctor.
Chop Doc.
Yeah, Chop Doc.
Chop Doc.
Who had traveled, who lived on the main line, by the way.
Yep.
And had traveled internationally to China. Mm-hmm. And so that this was all, it's all coming back to us. Remember the time it was, well, we're coming up on St. Patty's Day.
Yep.
St. Patrick's Day, and Zioli have like a Mark Levin event, like a book event.
Yeah, it was the last thing we did before the world shut down.
Remember that? We used to do events like once a week. We were all out somewhere, and then it all shut down.
And it never returned.
I know.
All right, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:04. Here's Dawn Stensland.
So in the news this morning, we are sponsored by Natural Lawn of America this Wednesday morning, March the 12th. And we'll tell you, it's not going to be as warm, but another spring-like day ahead for sure. As we look at Philadelphia news, what we've been covering for you is in the headlines, Trump's 25% tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports. They officially go in effect. I'll tell you, the Dow, the futures are up this morning, but officially increasing tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports to 25% today. And promising taxes would help create U.S. factory jobs at a time when the tariffs have been, we've seen this seesaw effect with consumer confidence, all of that, the media reporting the R-word recession. But we have tariffs in the news this morning as far as what Trump is pulling back on and as well what's going into effect. But for Pennsylvania steel and aluminum imports, how does that impact us here, especially in our region? And then we have a lot of other news as well that I want to get to and highlight for you. As far as international news, Russian missile attack on the central Ukrainian city of Kryvyi Rih, and this reportedly killed at least one woman and wounded at least 9 other people. So we're getting this news early this morning for us. This attack also damaging reportedly an infrastructure, some kind of a facility, some high-rise apartment buildings. And so we're getting this news just this morning. And this, as of course, the news that broke yesterday and later yesterday was that the attack follows this U.S.-Ukraine deal, if you will, a ceasefire deal for 30 days. So they've all been negotiating in Saudi Arabia. So the word that we had last night when we all went to bed was, and Nick, you just mentioned this, oh, great, it looks like a 30-day ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine. And so we're just talking about not whether the war is ending, but when it will be ending. But now we do have this Russian missile attack, the word of this deadly attack, and that's happening like overnight, our time. You know, we're just learning about this.
We have Marco Rubio, if you want to play this, Phil. This is clip K1. This was the Secretary of State yesterday upon reaching that 30-day ceasefire. Play this.
Today we made an offer that the Ukrainians have accepted, which is to enter into a ceasefire and into immediate negotiations to end this conflict in a way that's enduring and sustainable and accounts for their interests, their security, their ability to prosper as a nation. I want to personally thank, we both want to thank the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, His Majesty, for hosting us, for making this possible. They've been instrumental in this process, and we're very grateful to them for hosting us here today. And you know, hopefully we'll take this offer now to the Russians. And we hope that they'll say yes, that they'll say yes to peace. The ball is now in their court. And but again, the president's objective here is number one, above everything else. He wants the war to end. And I think today Ukraine has taken a concrete step in that regard. We hope the Russians will reciprocate.
And Dawn, the Wall Street Journal said yesterday the ceasefire plan, which is contingent on Russian acceptance, envisions opening negotiations between Kyiv and Moscow on halting the war. That according to the U.S.-Ukraine joint statement that was issued yesterday. But obviously, you know what it is? And everyone's like, well, you're anti-Ukraine. You must be pro-Putin. I think this makes Russia and Putin look really bad, right? If the United States and Ukraine have come to terms on something, and what we had heard, if you recall, was Trump and Putin were negotiating, and Ukraine was like kind of the third wheel, right? Now it seems like it was America and Ukraine, And Russia didn't apparently seem to get the memo here from what you're reporting.
Yeah, so we'll get the reaction from, I don't see yet reaction from the Trump administration, but it just shows you that that's also where Marco Rubio has been traveling, Riyadh. Why, you know, you might say, why? Why is Saudi Arabia's role critical here? And so it just shows you when we talk about Israel, the Middle East, why this is important. Think about the fact that Rubio made that comment. When he's making these comments, he's traveling to Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia, this important broker between the Saudi Arabian, the crown prince. So we've got the Middle East involved in this negotiation. Why? Because at the end of the day, it goes back to what George Carlin said. He was speaking about education, but I think it fits.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the money. Energy matters. Energy flips the switch for everything.
Yep.
And so think about what we're talking about here, the oil brokers, the energy, the biggity big money,
mm-hmm.
and the involvement within all of this. You've got them negotiating vis-a-vis the crown prince and Saudi Arabia, helping out a broker in between Ukraine, Russia, and as well the United States of America. It's all about the money.
Yes, it is. It's all about the Benjamins, as somebody once famously saying. I think he's in jail now with Sam Bankman-Fried.
So we have that going on. We still have this search for this 20-year-old University of Pittsburgh student, beautiful young lady, 20 years old. Now the FBI is there. Her parents are there. There's a lot of concern about the situation. We now know that there is a person of interest. They've released the pictures, they've released the videos of this individual after the 5-star luxury hotel where this young lady, her college girlfriends, they were all about five, there were 6 girls in total, I believe, these 20-ish, 19 to 22-ish young ladies. They're all traveling for spring break together. Parents obviously feel that they're safe. They're in Punta Cana in the Dominican at this luxury hotel. But unfortunately, there was a power outage, 80-plus degrees overnight. So a lot of people in the hotel, then they're encouraged to walk out on the beach to get some fresh air. That's where apparently they have a group of some guys, and she's seen with a guy standing with her. So that's the person of interest, the latest. The people, the witnesses are being re-interviewed today. The FBI is well taking part in the interviews. But it looks like what the person of interest is saying is that they were standing close, or maybe with their feet in the water, and this big wave comes crashing in. And did she get swept away? So there's a lot of mystery with this situation, but they're still searching for her. But the feds, the FBI is now on the scene, and she's identified. She's 20-year-old Sudiksha Konamki. So she's actually a dual citizen, a citizen of India, but a U.S. permanent resident. The family lives in Virginia.
Okay.
Sounds like this is a very wealthy, well-to-do family, prominent family.
The fact that the FBI is involved, is the suspicion that the guy might be more of a factor than the weather and the wave?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you look at the video, first of all, she's a strikingly beautiful but very petite girl. How does that sound familiar? You brought up Natalie Holloway yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Natalie, blonde, this young lady's brunette. But Natalie Holloway was particularly petite.
Yeah.
Where is she from? The guy is a big guy. And the person of interest, look at them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, so was that animal, Joran van der Sloot.
Oh, my God.
He was a big scumbag, too. Physically big, obviously.
This is just.
What was Holloway? From Alabama, if I recall?
Yeah. So she's been missing a week. When Stacia was in college, my stepdaughter, we were so freaked out about all this stuff.
Oh, no. Here we go.
That we actually, here's the thing. Go on conservative tours. Take your kid, take some spring. But we took some girlfriend. We went on a cruise.
I can't imagine.
Literally because we were so freaked out about, you know what I mean? This kind of a thing.
You would be a mess if you had twin 10-year-old daughters.
Oh, I
can't.
Would be.
I can't imagine how
totally.
The fear that would go through your mind every day.
But I'm good for, see, here's the thing. I'm good for, you know, the cruise lines or conservative tours, that sort of thing, because I just believe in safety. And I would say even with those 20-year-olds, think about that. They were vulnerable because they're still, even though they're 20 or 19 to 20, whatever,
mm-hmm.
they're so vulnerable because there are always predators out there.
Of course.
And so here, they what do predators do? You know, you watch those animal videos. What do predators do? They wait for a moment of opportunity.
But I would bet,
these girls, the power outage is what put them outside the safety of that hotel.
I would bet as a college student, the odds of you being... ending up in the situation that this unfortunate girl was dealing with in, from Pittsburgh, is far lower than the odds of going to college and dying from a binge drinking episode or illicit drugs.
Do you think?
I would think.
Two cases in 20 years, and we're well, fixated.
I know.
None of my children can go on spring break because one child somewhere has disappeared.
Two high profile cases. They probably have been more than two. We just only seem to cover them when the chick is hot. When she's hot, right?
Well, the narrative about, you know, I've heard the narrative for 20 years that America only cares when a pretty white girl goes missing. Well, this girl breaks that narrative because the world is fixated, or at least our country is fixated right now on this story.
But Dawn said she's pretty attractive as well.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, nobody ever cares. Like, if she looked like Rosie O'Donnell, it wouldn't even, nobody would care.
Well, that's just it. Maybe, and that's what we, you know, and Nick, here's your narrative for your beautiful little girls. As we would say to Stacia and her friends, you know, if you were really just ugly, we wouldn't worry as much.
I think,
you're beautiful. Yeah. You're, and they're like, oh, thank you.
I know TikTok tries to say that the ugly fat chicks are the one that are always being shamed. I think the ugly fat chicks have it better than the hotties do. Nobody messes with them. They're left alone. Nobody wants them.
So make sure your girls are with a big, like, I'm Bertha, the big MMA fighter wrestler girl or something, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
We do have the word today, and we're waiting for more on this. These are the owners of the Jersey Kebab restaurant, very popular South Jersey restaurant that's making national news, Camden County restaurant, South Jersey. But this is a situation where just yesterday the judge ruled for the release of and to say that this mom should be able to make bail. So they have to pay $7,500. They have that GoFundMe that I have to look at the latest, but I know it's well over $100,000 they've raised. And so the couple, they are Amin and Salel Eminet. And they're a prominent South Jersey couple. We still don't have all the details, except for to say that they've been trying to get a green card, I mean, for years, since like 2015. And they came to the country legally on work visas, on legal visas. And then because of our, you know, basically messed up, you know, immigration system, they've been in and out of the courts. And so this is an example of, you know, it's a prominent example of what happens when you're here, when you come here legally and you live here for decades. They've lived here for nearly 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've been married, I think, 27 years.
Wow.
They have kids. Their youngest son is 15 with autism, and they're well known in the community. So that's why you're seeing a lot, you know, this is a prominent couple. But in any event, the agents came in. They're saying that they raided. The agents didn't. This wasn't really a raid. The agents just were there, showed up at their business, and took the couple to court. Did not focus on their 20 plus year old son, who's the one who's been speaking, but we're focusing on the parents. Dad has an ankle bracelet. The mom has been in this facility for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So we don't know why. Why did they let the dad go on the ankle bracelet, and why not the mom?
Sounds like sexist ICE officers.
No, here's my theory on this. At the same time that they were arrested at their Jersey Kebab, very popular restaurant, there were stories about food stamps and applications for the, not food stamps, the vouchers that you get for the different programs we have federally, and that they were cracking down on the fact that if you are a restaurant, you're not allowed to accept any kind of food stamps.
It's just meant for grocery stores, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I think you might have done a big take about within one of your big takes. But in this case, if you, and this is my theory on it, we'll learn more. If you look at the restaurant, all the signs, they say they don't turn anybody down. And they'll feed everybody. I simply wonder, and this is my question that I would ask. I don't hear reporters ask. I would ask to the son who does daily interviews about his parents, Did you ever accept any of the kind of vouchers or food stamps? Is that part of this? In other words, if they accepted them and they were and they put in for them, is there some kind of an allegation about a misuse? Because obviously this is hot food. And that's the only thing I can theorize with why this restaurant may have been turned in. It's just my theory and my question.
Well, then you get into the, well, I was doing this out of the goodness of my heart versus I was breaking the law. And as we know with ICE, if you break the law, it doesn't matter what your heart intentions were. You have to follow the law. Maybe they use that as a reason to detain and then potentially deport.
To your point, Nick, is it that this was a very popular, successful restaurant? So if you are a competitor and you say, well, wait a minute, I follow the law. You know, I'm a legal citizen, but I don't accept any kind of different programs because I'm not supposed to do. Did somebody turn in somebody, maybe wrongfully?
I
don't know.
A kebab competitor down the road. They blew the whistleblowers. We've got Turkish kebab whistleblowers in Camden.
Hey, the kebab business, it's tough in Jersey. You know what I'm saying?
It is. But
I just asked the question. I don't have the information. Here's the thing. The married mom and wife and grandmother, she's going to get out today. So perhaps we'll find out more information.
Swing by with a platter, please.
I have friends who go there. They say it's delicious.
Phenomenal food.
So there you go.
Love it.
We have so much news today. We've been talking about the Eagles. We now have a date on Monday, the coming up, that we know are Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to the White House.
April 28th.
Yes. So April 28th, they go to the White House, and we don't have the full list of who's going or if they'll eat, what food they'll be served, but maybe RFK Jr. will have something to do with it.
By the way, the second part of the Hannity interview with RFK Jr. at Shake Shack, excuse me, Steak and Shake. I get those two mixed up.
Yeah.
Steak and Shake aired last night, so we will have cuts of that coming up at 7:45.
Oh, and I'll just tease a little something. I watched it early this morning. I'll tease a little something. There's something they say in the exchange that broke news, in my opinion, that I'm not seeing anywhere else. It's news about President Trump, personal information about him that you'll only learn when Greg plays his clips. Oh. Little something that I think was overlooked that you're not really hearing between RFK Jr. and Hannity.
Hopefully what you're teasing, I have the...
I'll make sure you have
it. Thank you.
I just always assume that he has it because it doesn't matter. Like, I'll make sure
I have
I'll go
everything.
Through
and, yeah. I mean,
I'm sure he has
I have
it
eight
there.
Pages.
But it's... I think you're going to... I was very... When I was like, I had to rewind it. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Nobody's reporting this about Donald J. Trump. And something very personal about him and his health.
You know what?
So you'll find that out.
He quit the Diet Coke and started drinking
water.
I'm
not going to tell.
Yeah.
Only Greg Stocker knows.
7:45.
All right.
But we are sponsored by Natural Lawn of America. We've been telling you about Natural Lawn of America. From organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn makes your lawn thrive naturally, season after season. Choose Natural Lawn. Get free seeding every single year. Just call 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. I promise you, seriously, you're going to love Natural Lawn of America. They're the best. Natural Lawn of America, thank you for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. I've got three goofy stories that we can get to a little bit later in the show. Rosie O'Donnell confirms that she has left the United States after Trump's election. We're going to save that because you, Stocker, actually have a clip of that. And then also, Disney is dealing with more pushback on the woke Snow White and apparently will not be rolling out the red carpet for the release on March 21st. That's according to Variety and The Hollywood Reporter. And also, 2 years since Dylan Mulvaney destroyed Bud Light. We probably won't get time for that story, but I just looked it up. They are still down 29% year over year in their sales, the latest ones being from January 2025. But we'll get to some of those stories perhaps in the cut sheet. If not, we'll get to those later in the show if we have time. But up next, I do want to spend some time on this. Axios and Ipsos has a poll out about COVID's enduring divide 5 years later. We'll get into some of these details when we come back. Tony Bruno and the cut sheet in just about 25 minutes. Here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the very latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands like Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. You know, these models have sleek new designs and innovative features powered by the very latest in technology, and they have thousands of new as well as certified pre-owned vehicles available right now across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. P-I-A-Z-Z-A. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We used to get texts saying, hey, make sure Stalker has this for the cut sheet. Now people say, hey, I'll join you for the cut sheet.
Yep.
Interesting. So here we are 5 years later, and I'll never forget this. You know, with COVID, it was obviously in this country in the fall of 2019. Media started to cover it a little bit as far as where it was really having outbreaks in these little pockets throughout the planet. In, I think I remember as early as Halloween 2019, and then it was certainly covered big time around the holidays. And, you know, we started to get the stories of the cases here in early 2020. And then I'll never forget, I was working for Odyssey Atlanta doing sports for 92.9 The Game, and I had just gotten hired in the pandemic. I was hired in January of 2020, and my first air shift was February of 2020. And then March 12th comes along, and Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz, after a game, says, I've tested positive for COVID. He's at the post-game podium. And the next day, March 12th, the NBA shut down. Sports was done. There was no March Madness, no NCAA tournament. And I'm thinking, oh, great. I just got a job part-time after being let go in Nashville. A pandemic breaks out. And now the company that hires me, Odyssey, part-time, we're out of sports. The hell are we going to talk about, right? I mean, imagine trying to do sports talk radio and no sports are being played. You know, that'd be like doing this show when the government goes on strike, which actually I have no problem with that. But as far as the COVID divide, Axios and Ipsos has a poll out. And they reveal, according to their polling numbers, that 39% of Americans say that they know somebody who died from COVID. I'm fortunate. I don't know anybody personally that died of COVID. But as far as how Americans, and keep in mind that this is Axios Ipsos, so every poll is a little bit different, as we know, only 31% of Americans say that they trust President Trump for information about health topics, as well as Bobby Kennedy Jr., which is kind of interesting because, you know, you talk about Operation Warp Speed and Trump and getting the COVID vaccine rolled out. So everybody that was a COVID vaccine fanatic that swore by the vaccine says they don't trust Donald Trump when it comes to this, although it falls on party lines big time. 67% of Republicans do trust him. Only 7% of Democrats trust him, 22% of independents. Now, some other numbers. Nearly two-thirds believe that the shutdowns in early 2020 were necessary to save lives, but 56% say that they caused unnecessary damage to the economy. 90% of those who gravitate towards conservative media said that the shutdowns caused unnecessary damage, while only 52% of broadcast television watchers said the same thing. And then they broke it down by how you consume media. So only 14% trusted during the pandemic. Think about this. ABC, CBS, or NBC. 10% Fox News, 8% local news, national publications like the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, 5%, 2% for conservative media. They jot down talk radio, Newsmax, and Breitbart. And then as far as trust goes within our health agencies, the centers for the CDC, 62% overall trust the CDC. But when you look at it by party, only 42% of Republicans do, while 86% of Democrats do. On the NIH front, the National Institute of Health, 57% overall, 77% of Democrats trust the NIH, 40% of Republicans trust the NIH. And when it comes to the latest booster, right now, according to Axios Ipsos, only 17% of adults that were polled said they have received the latest COVID booster in the last 3 months. I don't know a single person, not that we have these conversations, not that I inquire, not that people run around advertising it. I don't know anybody that's had a booster since that first and second wave of boosters after the one or two shots that came out in March or April of 2021, once the high-risk population, remember when they said they were rolling it out, it was for those at high risk. You know, we've been talking about COVID the last couple of days on this show because we've had new revelations, new reports. We talked about it yesterday. Robert Redfield says he's now 100% convinced that this was manufactured in a lab and it got out somehow. We've also talked about the bird flu and how I think it was Bill Gates said it's about a 10 to 15% chance of another pandemic in the next couple of years. I'm still blown away that 5 years later, you see people not only wearing masks, but you see them not wearing the correct one or wearing the correct one properly. You see them wearing them across the chin, the whole bit. And I'm honestly, and you know, I don't do the fear porn stuff, but my concern is that if in fact another pandemic happens, which I have a gut feeling that in my lifetime, which is about another 18 years and 6 months, that this we're going to have another one.
You don't really say that.
You really think that?
What? That I'm dead by 60?
No.
Yes, I do believe that.
That there's going to be another pandemic
in my lifetime?
Your lifetime?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. I'm very cynical when it comes to COVID. And look, this is no disrespect to anybody that likes to call themselves a conspiracy theorist, because the conspiracy theories have been hitting at a pretty good rate. And I'm willing to entertain any theory. I think it's an absolute certainty that this will happen again. I really do. And I'm cynical on that front. I admit it.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't.
Well, I don't think it'll be.
But I'm more concerned that the government is going to try to run the same playbook.
They can't. They won't. And that's here in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, we were ground zero because you think about it. Not only did we have one of the first big cases, we were the strictest shutdown. We were the site of the strictest shutdowns in the nation, and they lasted the longest. But also remember that the vaccine origins and the fact that we could have a vaccine, it was created right here in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the Philadelphia and Pennsylvania connection with the pandemic and then as well with the presidential election. We're such an important state and such an important city. But when I think about the pandemic and 5 years ago, here's what I'll say. Always follow your instincts. The people, and think about in Philadelphia, who refused to get that vaccine? I remember my sister-in-law saying this. She said, you know, why is it that doctors and nurses and medical professionals, and they're the ones refusing to get the vaccine, and also the African-American community in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
We, and that to me was the beginning of people who were pushing back on this, the mandates, that is, with regard to the vaccine, the shutdowns, and asking the questions. And I think that led to really people years later voting for President Trump or just abstaining, if you will, from getting out there. And I think it affected the black vote here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I do. And I get it. I'm not afraid of COVID. I never was. I only got the first two shots. I think I had the Moderna one. They were 3 weeks apart. I only got them because, you know, we were told at that time early on that, you know, you could end up causing somebody else to die. That's high risk. My father-in-law was coming down. He had cancer and diabetes. He's coming down to Nashville to visit for Easter 2021. I'm like, all right, I'll get it. I'll appease my wife. I never got anything after that again, and I've had COVID multiple times since getting those shots. So I'm not scared of COVID, and I'm not going to tolerate, you know, the government shutting people down and stupid things like social distancing, which was all made up, the efficacy of masks, which is, you know, not nearly what they tried to tell us. You know, if you want to buy in on the KN95, wearing it tight and properly, okay, knock yourself out. It's one of the reasons why I quit law school. We still had a mandate that you had to wear a mask in law school. Can you imagine going through torts and contracts for 2.5 hours after you've worked a full-time job at night and then wearing a mask? Like, I wanted to blow my head off. So that's the other thing. But I look at the bigger picture, and to me it was this redistribution and reallocation of wealth. Like, I strongly do adhere and believe that, you know, they want the 1% to have everything and the rest of us to have nothing. You have these nut jobs at the World Economic Forum saying, you will own nothing and you will be happy. And here we are 5 years later trying to recover economically. Home ownership is out of reach for most people. And, like, you know, we've got these big corporations coming in, buying homes and renting them out. And how do you get ahead in this lifetime? Most people do it by purchasing a home and then selling it years later to contribute towards their retirement with their 401k or a pension or what they did in the stock market. And you have this greed of, no, it's fine. We'll own everything. You'll just lease and rent. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, the house that I wanted to buy 6 years ago that was 380 grand is now six and a quarter. And I'm like, well, I guess I have to settle for what now is 380 grand, which nowadays 380 grand gets you a crack house.
I'm looking back. The first case of COVID-19 in Philadelphia was announced March 10th of 2020.
I remember it.
Looking back and thinking about, remember these names? Well, Jim Kenney was, I know you're like, Dawn, why are you even saying the Governor Tom Wolf. And so the first case, March 10th, and by St. Patrick's Day, there were 96 cases here. In total, we lost 4,100 people to death. That was the listed cause of COVID, with nearly 190,000 people getting sick. It's just, I was just looking back at some of the names. Remember Dr. Thomas Farley, the health commissioner at the time. So these were the conversations, shutting everything down. And what strikes me about 5 years later, and remember, of course, Dr. Rachel Levine. So she pulls her mom.
Richard.
But Dr. Levine was our health secretary. And remember that Dr. Levine pulled mom out of the nursing home. And this was amid the orders to put sick people into nursing homes. And nobody really talks about this.
Right.
And that's what I think moving forward. You know, I know Cuomo in New York, and he's gaining prominence and held a news conference, I think, yesterday or last night. But I thought this is going to come back to bite all of these people.
Yeah.
And then who knew what and when.
And then the stupid policies that were implemented, whether it was a mayor or a governor or anybody else. I'll never forget. I'm in Nashville. The Tennessee Titans are hosting Monday Night Football. This is 2021, so we're a year and a half into the pandemic.
Who was the governor, Nick?
That was John Cooper, another little schlub. And he goes, yeah, we've got a curfew in Nashville. The Broadway bars, the honky-tonk bars downtown, the COVID curfew's 10 p.m. But because we're hosting Monday Night Football in our beautiful city, the bars will remain open until midnight. So I guess what, from those extra 2 hours, COVID takes a break? Right, we have to slow the spread, but we'll leave the city open for an extra couple of hours to make a buck because Monday Night Football's in town. Ridiculous. Trust the science.
Mm-mm-mm.
Trust my you know what. All right, 855-839-1210, the phone number. We'll come back. Tony Bruno will join us live from Florida for what's on the cut sheet. We have such a unbelievable variety of clips today. Hell, we have clips that we might not even have in the system. Dom is teasing a clip. We might not even have it. Have we tracked it down?
We have it.
Yeah. You will have to find out, and we will hear that coming up at some point, because the cut sheet's about to go from about 7:49 until, I don't know, maybe 9:20. And Tony Bruno is ready to go.
Uh-oh.
Back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
That had to be 16, 17 years ago. That was Thanksgiving 2008, if I recall correctly, when Ellen Nordgren threw the 7-iron right through his windshield and Tiger drove into a fire hydrant.
That's what that stuff happened. Now Tiger tore his Achilles yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's over for Tiger. It's a shame. I mean, but, you know, it comes to an end for most of us.
Yes, it does.
And I hear you guys talking about the 5 years later. I'm more of a 10 years after guy.
Yeah, I love 10 years
Phil Almquist will be the only. Yeah. Oh, I knew you would get that.
Of course.
You and Phil will be the only ones who get the 10 years after reference.
100%. Yeah, 10 years after.
All right, Gregory, let's get down to it. Let's see what you got on that cut sheet, shall we?
Yes.
Cut sheet.
What's on the cut sheet on this Wednesday, sponsored by the Philadelphia Boat Show? Tony Bruno, do you have a boat?
I do, but it's just sitting, floating in the dock there, and it hasn't been used for 2 years. But it looks nice. It sits out there and it floats.
Your dinghy scratched my boat.
My boat's still floating. I'm waiting for it to be at the bottom of the lagoon so I can get the insurance claim.
Yeah.
You know, and then retire.
Philadelphia Boat Show, the boat sale of the year is back. The Philadelphia Boat Show, March 14th to the 16th at the Expo Center in Oaks. Top tri-state dealers ready to deliver saltwater fishing boats, pontoon party boats, ski boats, bass boats, PWCs, and more. See PhillyBoatShow.com for details and tickets. PhillyBoatShow.com. Maybe you can buy a boat and travel down to Florida and see Tony Bruno. Maybe we should do that.
If I do, I'm not coming back.
Maybe we should all get on a boat.
By the way, I'm not gonna get a fishing boat. My next boat will be a pontoon boat.
Pontoon
party boats.
Yep.
That's what's going on right now. Everybody's got one down here. You got to have a part, you know, a pontoon party boat for all the boat parades we have down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
All right, Tony Bruno, we played this earlier, but this is all for you, my friend. Roll it.
April 28th, I can confirm that the Philadelphia Eagles will be here at the White House to celebrate their Super Bowl victory. I know there was a lot of fake news about an invitation that wasn't sent or was sent. We want to correct the record. We sent an invitation. They enthusiastically accepted, and you will see them here on April 28th.
Ah, enthusiastically accepting. Yeah. Tony Bruno, your
Eagles.
Thoughts.
E-I-G-G-L-E. Hold on, let me. Does the mayor go too?
Yes.
Does the mayor of Philadelphia show up?
I would like to hope so. I would like to think, but I'm going to doubt it.
By the way, the good news is it's April 28th. The bad news is half the team is now gone.
That's true. I was just going to say.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson is gone.
Yeah.
And now the Eagles' backup running back's going to the Steelers. Everybody's leaving. Yeah.
Just imagine what the mainstream media is going to do. They're going to be like, well, only 31 of the 53 Eagles attended, but they'll conveniently omit that the other 22 left for free agency.
Yeah, that's the question now. The guys who won Super Bowls with the Eagles, who are now on different teams, are they going to be able to show up? I mean, they got to go to the White House, right?
Nick and Tony, if you can tap into your old sports days real fast and just give me a quick gut check. Do you think Howie Roseman has a plan on what he's doing, or are we just giving away players?
Oh, does he have a plan?
No, I mean,
it's the salary cap thing, right? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have any money left. They gave everybody the money, and they signed the guys that they wanted to sign, and they had to keep. But, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the guy came here twice and won two Super Bowls.
I know.
You talk about a good average, right?
Uh-huh, he's two for two.
Comes here, wins a Super Bowl, goes back to Detroit, comes back again, wins another Super Bowl. So, obviously, you know, you can't keep all your players in the salary cap here.
Yeah.
And they traded C.J. Gardner-Johnson for an offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I think Howie knows exactly. Are you saying you don't trust the process, Greg Stocker?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that, like, you know, that team last season was you know,
loaded
dynasty
level.
Yeah. And a big part of that was the defense. We get rid of a lot of the defense.
But now they're going to build the offense.
Yeah. Yeah, they're building their
key. No, they're doing it right. I mean, you got to keep the key guys that you want.
I got you.
And then free agents who don't make as much money, they'll want to come here because everybody who's good that's out there will want to play for a team that has it. Once you get a ring, you know, like the Josh Sweats and these guys, they want, you know, they get a big offer somewhere else, they're going to take it.
And they're going to go to those other places and tank.
Yes, because they're overpaid based on past performance. There's still this thing called the NFL draft coming up.
I
hear the Eagles do relatively well with those types of things.
Yeah, I know. Everybody, worships at the altar of Howie Roseman.
Who's more untouchable right now, Howie or Trump? Let's do a poll question.
Well, if you ask the Democrats, Trump should be impeached and removed from office and all the other. By the way, egg prices are coming down and so is gas. So I don't want to hear Elizabeth Warren and how and what's his name, Bernie Sanders, who's going all over the country telling everybody how bad millionaires are. Billionaires, because he can't rip millionaires anymore because he's a multimillionaire. So now it's just billionaires that bothers Bernie. Say that fast five times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On your gas front, according to AAA, the average price now is at $3.09 per gallon nationwide. AAA says this is the lowest per gallon cost for the month of March. So it's just March since March of 2021. And according
to $2.66 to fill up the truck yesterday. $2.66 a gallon.
Hey, speaking of that,
it's coming down, baby.
You think that's good? My wife, apparently, and I didn't know this, has linked up her, and maybe you're not allowed to do this, but oh well, it's a grocery store, who cares? My wife has the same giant card, the bonus card, as my in-laws. So she was driving up 309 to stop at one of the giants that has the gas station.
And
attached.
She used all the points?
She, you know what she paid for per gallon?
That's what?
I don't know what she paid a gallon, but we have a 19-gallon Jeep Grand Cherokee. She paid $17 to fill it, and it was bone dry.
She should be. That's a violation.
I would deport her, honestly.
That's a violation. You're in.
How's that a violation? That's a great deal.
No, I didn't say it wasn't a great deal. I'm just saying if she's using her parents' giant card, they're the ones, I'm assuming, Nick, that racked up all the points there, and then they don't get to use it.
Probably.
Wait, but this is your wife using her mom's card?
I guess they have a joint. I guess they have it as like the same.
What's wrong with that?
You know, you have to put in your phone number.
These in-laws, you know, I'm just going to say the in-laws, they paid for their wedding. They've traveled with them. They're going to be the key to the down payment to the house.
And all Nick does is criticize the mother-in-law.
Yes, but we have a mother-in-law update, and this should actually have been the lead story this morning in the Big Take. Okay.
Lead story on Action News this morning.
My mother-in-law.
This segment sponsored by Flowers for Mother's
Day. That's right. My mother-in-law got wind of the Kale and Company flag.
That is being flown right now in Bucks, Montgomery County or Bucks?
Bucks.
It's in Bucks County.
Bucks.
Okay. Yeah.
And she says she is willing to fly it for a week from her front porch of her house.
See?
She says, don't give me that Trump flag. She says, give me the Kale and Company flag. And even though you're wrong on everything you say 4 hours a day, she will fly it for a week.
Wow.
Hang on. I'm going to put my brand manager hat on here for a second. She's in the Lehigh Valley.
Yes.
Our signal doesn't really come in there. Like, I know we're on YouTube. I know we're on the Odyssey app. Yeah. But we don't really come in there, guys.
I don't know how she found out about it, but she called me 3 times yesterday. I finally picked up the 3rd time. I'm like, what?
I'm going to have to object. As the brand manager, I'm going to have to object. It's only for our listening area.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow, the Lily.
What about the Ukrainian flag? Is she still flying that?
Say, no, that went away years ago.
All right, we've already.
I think we should have the Kale and Company flag at one point with Casa Bruno.
Yes,
because we have a lot of right.
Absolutely.
Well, what about our listener Mike who lives in Tel Aviv? What if can we send the Kale and Company flag to the Middle East?
Like on
I'll
a field
fly
trip.
The Kale and Company flag.
But again, Tony, I love you.
I'm going to fly it down here in Florida.
In this digital age, brand manager,
you know I love you, Tony Bruno.
The whole world is our listening area.
You know I love you, Tony Bruno. I adore you, man. But you're not in our listening area, so I can't have you flying a flag for a local radio station.
You know, it's on the YouTubers. You could. Yeah. Okay, we need a different flag. We need, like, the international national flag or something. You know what I mean? Like,
we've embassy. Been, all of us on this show have been around radio long enough. I know what's going on here. Stalker's afraid that this flag's going to get lost or damaged, and we can't afford another one. That's what it is.
Mangle Mush on the YouTube chat says, I catch you in the AM in my car in the Poconos.
Oh,
exactly.
All right. Okay, can we move on?
Yeah, you started.
Let's get on to the cut sheet here. I'm Jones.
I know you are.
I'm Jones.
Speaking of Caroline Leavitt, she got into it yesterday. This is cut 11, Phil, with the Associated Press. I guess the Associated Press is allowed back in the...
Mm-hmm.
So our national nightmare is officially over, guys.
Yes.
That the Associated Press was not allowed in the press room.
Yes. They're just no longer funded by USAID.
So a reporter and her got into it about tariffs. Roll it.
Awesome.
If we could just step back for a second. When President Trump last addressed the BRT when he was on the campaign trail, his big push was on tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
He's going there today as he's proposing tax hikes in the form of tariffs.
Not
true. And I'm curious
he's not doing
why
that.
He's prioritizing that over the tax cuts.
He's actually not implementing tax hikes. Tariffs are a tax hike on foreign countries that, again, have been ripping us off. Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people. And the president is a staunch advocate of tax cuts. As you know, he campaigned on no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime, no taxes on Social Security benefits. He is committed to all three of those things, and he expects Congress to pass them later this year.
I'm sorry, have you ever paid a tariff? Because I have. They don't get charged on foreign companies. They get charged on the importers.
And ultimately, when we have fair and balanced trade, mm-hmm. which the American people have not seen in decades, as I said at the beginning, revenues will stay here, wages will go up, and our country will be made wealthy again. And I think it's insulting that you are trying to test my knowledge of economics and the decisions that this president has made. I now regret giving a question to the Associated Press. Mary, go ahead.
Suck it.
Woo!
Boom! Suck it, AP. How about that dude with the little patches? He's got the patches on the jacket.
Yeah.
And then they find out, because people can find out, this guy has no knowledge. He has no economics. He doesn't have any even journalism background. And he's trying to school the White House press secretary. Imagine that. Imagine what, remember when KJP, the binder, would go in there and somebody would ask a tough question? And she would, like, go into the thing and look for an answer.
Where she'd say this.
He got owned yesterday. He got owned.
Yeah.
He got owned.
Well, it's just, I mean, this is nothing new with Trump. I mean, Trump, the first time around, had tariffs in place. It did not come back to bite America in the ass. We'll see if it does this time around, if they end up being in place for a long enough period where it hurts us. I mean, he has come out and said there might be short-term pain for, in theory, long-term gain. But right now, I'm looking at this. I've got three different numbers here. And again, the stock market, you know, has been turbulent. But then again, if you're not really playing it, I guess you don't pay attention to it. Right now, according to Trueflation, the U.S. inflation index, 1.35%. We mentioned gas prices down to $3.09 a gallon, and also egg prices down 77 cents. Now, how much of the egg stuff is Trump versus, you know, the repopulation of these chickens? You know, we can get into that minutia all day, but right now we haven't seen any massive pain to our wallets yet. So that's the question the Associated Press has when they get allowed back in. Now, I don't know what. Do we know the details? Don, you're the journalist. Were they completely banned, or did they have restricted access? Because I don't think they had more than one reporter there. But how many days a week are they allowed to be there? Those are the questions I don't know the answer to.
Well, in the past, you just had the regular actors. Everybody applies, but usually they know who they'll call on first. And Associated Press always has a seat up front. And that's why this is shaking things up, which I think we all love it. And the general public doesn't really care because they think, what are they squabbling over?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Associated Press, what they were, and this is another SmackDown, which we love, right? But the truth is that it's by the invitation of the White House. You can argue back and forth as to who should be invited, but how come they never called on, you know, Reagan Reese, who I love, with the Daily Caller? Like, how come they decided that they couldn't ask alternate? I know Greg laughs at me, but how come they couldn't have somebody from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT? How come?
Yeah. And here, you
who
know,
decides?
When we talk about the economy, because that's what they're waiting on. They're waiting for the economy to crash and burn, because that's really the only thing they can pin on Trump if he fails in that, because he's delivered on the border. He's made progress with war. Obviously, he's fulfilling his gutting of the swamp with Doge. But there's more than one way for our economy to get to where it needs to be. You have Doge with cutting spending. You have energy, which obviously the more energy independent we become, everything else becomes cheaper. And then you have tariffs. Now, if tariffs go the wrong way and cost us, but we do really well energy-wise and Doge-wise, who's to say two positives and one negative doesn't result in a net gain for us and put more money in our pockets? We just assume that tariffs are going to lead to a recession or something like that. That's a little reckless, in my opinion.
Well, Lutnick was asked.
By the way, did you see how much Canada charges us for butter and milk?
It's like 200%,
300%,
300%.
It's crazy,
300%. And by the way, that guy, a Ford guy up there, remember, we're not going to give you any electricity now. And then boom, he got roasted. And guess what? He walked it back. And so this is what you do when you negotiate publicly. And that's what Trump does better than anybody. Ford was saying, we're not going to get. And then Trump says, how dare you not provide electricity to states in this country? Well, you know, the border states that get electricity from them. And, you know, when you cut electricity, you can't even cut off electricity in cities like Philadelphia, because you're endangering people's lives, especially since it's still cold in those parts of the country. So that was just a stupid decision for this guy to come out and say, we're going to shut off your electricity. Who's going to applaud that? Even that idiot Trudeau, who's now gone, wouldn't do that.
So are tariffs worth it if we get into a recession? That was asked by a reporter to Howard Lutnick. This is what he said. Roll it.
By then, however, the Dow had tumbled another 1%. Since Thursday, it has fallen more than 2.5%.
The markets are going to learn. Let the deal maker make his deals.
Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick brokered today's truce with the Ontario Premier.
What is really being accomplished with all of these 1 or 2 day tariffs that end up getting yanked?
Well, when you're negotiating with someone and they're not paying attention and they're disagreeing, the president, who's the best deal maker ever to sit in that chair, is going to say, here's my response. And then all of a sudden, shockingly, they respond.
And yet the prospect of an aggressive trade war has prompted both J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs to bump up the risk of a recession this year.
Will these policies be worth it if they lead to a recession, even a short-term recession?
These policies are the most important thing America has ever had.
So it is worth it.
It is worth it. I don't think the only reason there could possibly be a recession is because of the Biden nonsense that we had to live with. These policies produce revenues.
So you're saying when it looks chaotic and unpredictable from the outside, that there actually is a master plan when it comes to these tariffs?
It is not chaotic. And the only one who thinks it's chaotic is someone who's being silly. He said reciprocal tariffs.
Nobody expected him to announce 50% tariffs this morning.
He needed to break some guy in Ontario who said he was going to tax American energy 25%. The president of the United States in the White House says, oh, no, you won't, and breaks him. And you think that's chaotic?
Only in America, with Donald Trump, could somebody be in a position to try to get a better deal for the United States and be viewed as the bad guy.
Yeah.
Only Trump could try to broker peace with Russia, Ukraine, and somehow be lumped in with Putin as a dictator and an awful human being as far as war goes. It really is remarkable. Now, I gave you the numbers a couple of weeks ago. Not even a couple of weeks ago, last week. It could cost up to $830 more per household for the first year. So the question you have to ask yourself, and everybody's financial situation is different. If I told you you're going to have to cough up $830 in 2025, but in 26 and 27 and 28, you get that back plus some, is that worth it to you? I will say this, and you can rip me in the YouTube chat. I don't think we're ever going back to pre-COVID pricing. I don't think the housing market's ever going back that far. I don't think interest rates for home are ever coming down to 3 or 2.75%. But if we can find a happy middle between where we were pre-pandemic and for the prices that we're paying now, is that a success when we talk about Trump and the economy for his second term? I would argue it is success. Because I don't think 2019, 2018, I don't think that's achievable, no matter who the president is. I don't think we're ever going back that far. That's just me.
Yesterday at the White House, we had a 2-hour infomercial for Tesla. Because, you know, we like EVs now. Remember yesterday, guys, I said that is it now a sign of MAGA to drive a Tesla?
I think driving a Tesla.
I think I answered my own question.
I think you did, because I didn't realize. Did we know? Wait, yesterday morning,
did we know about
Trump and
no.
Hannity? Okay,
no.
Shut up.
It wasn't Hannity. It was
Hannity got a Tesla too.
Ugh.
He was promoting it all night last night.
Oh, these hypocrites.
So you can go. He was like, "Hey, look at my new Tesla. You can go on the website." So yeah. Trump and Hannity endorsing, like they bought Teslas.
But,
and Caroline Levitt gets to drive Trump's because he's not going to drive it. Can we drive it?
No, I don't want to drive it.
I do.
Now
Tesla's not MAGA. Tesla's douche.
Now all of a sudden, conservatives are MAGA, like EV cars.
Cool. Not me.
That's very rich. Okay.
No, I like Teslas.
By the way,
I'm not one of these hypocrites. I've driven a Tesla. They're amazing. I mean,
they are.
You get in it, they fly. I mean, they are
I
absolute rockets.
Yeah.
I have no interest in them.
But the bottom line is, You know, and then now, of course, the media and Elizabeth Warren are saying, oh, look what they did. They had a commercial. They forgot that Joe Biden drove a Jeep onto the White House lawn a couple of years ago.
That's
remember that?
True point.
Yep, it's absolutely true.
He drove a Jeep on the White House lawn, and then he was driving electric cars in plants when he was forcing car companies to basically not to produce more and had a mandate that you had to drive. See, mandates are what people hate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're a guy and you want a mandate and you're a man who wants a mandate, then you want a mandate.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
But if you don't want a mandate, then you can just say, I want a choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me
date?
Buy what I want.
Yeah.
Let me buy what I want.
Yeah. Well, you're so right. It's not about the EV, it's about the mandate, right?
Of course not.
Nobody wants a COVID mandate. Nobody wants an EV mandate. We want options. We want choice, which is very rich coming from the pro-choice community, by the way, I must say.
Exactly.
Do you want a date with us here at Kale & Company?
Yes, you do. Weekdays from 6 to 10.
They're now saying that Tesla is the most American vehicle because it's made in America. That's the selling point.
Yeah, there's that select few in our audience that only buys American, no matter how long it takes to search high and dry for American products. So go ahead and get yourself a Tesla there, Skip.
Let's do 16 here. This is a line of Teslas. This was Trump, Elon, and his little son standing out in
which
front of the White House.
One,
X.
Two,
little
seven,
X.
ten, 12.
Little X.
Just a little X.
No, it's little X.
Yeah. So by the way, do we think that Elon actually knows the names of all of his children? Like, if they lined up in a row, you think you could identify them?
He's like a savant. He definitely knows all
right.
of those things.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to be social,
right.
but he definitely knows facts.
And as we learned yesterday, that he's got a cyber genitalia.
Tony, I don't know if you saw it yesterday. We had a...
I saw them open up a couple of weeks ago for one of the tribute bands down here, Cyber Genitalia. Really, really. They're futuristic.
Yeah.
They use synthesizers. They use all kinds of futuristic stuff. Space age. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So they brought out a bunch of Teslas and the Cybertruck for Trump to choose from. Like that scene in The Karate Kid. Choose.
Yeah.
Roll it.
Mr. Miyagi.
So they're great cars and they're American made. And I think, you know, try it. You'll like it.
And I should say, beyond the cars, they're great. But we have to celebrate somebody that has the courage to do this. He could have said, I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to get involved. Let the country go to hell. He didn't want to do that. And remember, he's going to find, and we're up to almost $500 billion worth of waste and fraud. And if it's $500 billion. We're giving $2 billion here, $2 billion, not millions. It was a bet. If it was $1 million or $2 million, that's a lot of money. But we're talking about billions of dollars being given to defunct, scams, given to people with nothing. They have nothing going. They open up a subchapter-esque corporation, and they put $2 billion into it from nowhere.
He is a cute kid, I will say that.
So cute.
I will say this. I have no interest in a Tesla, but I do like the Cybertruck. Every time I see the Cybertruck, I'm like, yeah.
Really? I see a ton of them down here in Florida.
I'm sure.
A ton of them. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're expensive, but they're coming down.
Okay.
You know, the bottom line is this. You know, if you drive long distances, you don't want an EV, especially in cold weather. You know, but down here there's a ton of Teslas and Cybertrucks. That's what people want. If you don't want a Cybertruck, don't buy one. If you don't want a gas engine car, don't buy one. Whatever happened to, we should have the right to choose.
Again, agreed.
Yeah.
Piazza Auto Group has some Teslas.
Nice.
That are, like, beautiful.
Wait, Piazza has Tesla now?
Well, because they have...
Or used.
They have, gently used or whatever you're supposed to say. Yeah.
Pre-owned.
Previously owned.
Previously owned.
Right.
Cut 17, it looks like he picked the Tesla Model S Plaid.
S Plaid, which he'll never drive.
The red one. Roll it.
Watch Secret Service go crazy. Thank you.
I mean, if you actually drove it around, it would really be well.
Yeah. Why don't you run to Starbucks while you're at it?
Wow.
This is as big as my golf cart.
That's beautiful. This is a different panel than I've had. Everything's computer. That's beautiful. Wow.
You know, Trump drove a Tesla back in 2014 in New York with his wife.
Did he really?
Video of that. Yeah, he was driving a Tesla in New York in 2014.
We actually talked yesterday about when was the last time we thought Trump actually drove a car. I thought it was like the 70s.
Okay.
So. No, it was 24. There's video of him when he was doing The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And he was in the Tesla, and Melania was in the passenger seat. And obviously the screen was smaller, but he was having a good time driving. And obviously it was being filmed. There was somebody shooting it for his TV show.
Yeah. Speaking of that, by the way, did you see that Peacock is bringing back The Apprentice? You can watch it now on demand every Monday, starting with season one. That's interesting.
That's a smart move by them.
Yeah. My sons are watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love how, you know, NBC all of a sudden now. So NBC's bent the knee. Now we're going to re-air episodes of season one of Hitler. Cool. Uh-huh. They're all frauds.
Well, they are, because he had a hit show on NBC for, 17 years or whatever it was.
By the way, Don, can you give us a little Melania? What would Melania be saying in the 2014 Tesla in the Big Apple with her husband at the wheel?
Donald, can you take me? Where are you going to take me, Donald? I don't know what she'd say. This is not, I think that she likes, my personal opinion, she likes luxury. You know, as I've teased, like Camp David, this is a Boy Scout camp. I don't know, I think she loves the luxury limo. You know what I mean?
Okay. Who doesn't?
Right?
Who doesn't like luxury? Is there anybody out there that's anti-luxury?
I'm more of a middle, you know, I'm a meat and potatoes guy. I can drive a Yugo, I can drive a truck, I can drive a Jeep, except without the little rubber duckies, though. If you have a Jeep Wrangler and you have those rubber duckies in there, get a hobby.
Yeah.
This is Cut 21, Elon Musk, about the Tesla factories, to Don's point, in the United States. Cut, I think this is 19, Phil? This is 19? There you go. Yeah, I wrote.
So, then if I sat back for 4 years and had a good time in the Oval Office, I want to look at cars.
Mr. President, this is, I have an announcement to make that would be helpful. I want to say, as a function of the great policies of President Trump and his administration, and as an act of faith in America, Tesla is going to double vehicle output in the United States within the next 2 years.
That's
double.
A big deal. That's good. Thank you. And by the way, he makes one car. This one I don't understand. This one I don't want, but that's okay. Without a steering wheel. It comes out next year. Right? Yes. Explain that, please.
Yes. Well, the CyberCab starts production in Texas next year. And it's self-driving. We have so much confidence in the self-driving nature of it that it'll actually not have a steering wheel. It will not have pedals. It'll either self-drive or not drive at all. But it'll self-drive.
President Trump,
I'm going to pass on that particular.
Before this event today, when's the last time you bought a new car?
Well, I buy a lot through my children, because they run the company now. I used to buy a lot. I haven't bought a new car in a long time.
What was your first car?
The only thing I know is the Beast. I got a big car with very thick windows and thick side panels.
Is that going electric? Is that going electric?
We buy a lot of cars. Actually, I bought this one for Kai.
Yeah. Do you remember your first car?
The Ontario premier calling you.
All right, there you go.
So that was for Kai.
Yeah.
Did she just turn 18? Nice.
Yeah, I think she's going to be a senior. Did you see the story, speaking of Tesla, if you now vandalize or create any sort of havoc at a Tesla dealership in the, you know, midst of trying to terrorize or harass Elon Musk, you will be deemed a domestic terrorist?
Of course you are. Well, at least they didn't burn up the three EV chargers that are billions of dollars were supposed to build around the country. If it wasn't for Elon Musk, there wouldn't be any chargers all over the country. What happened to all that money?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, there's no way I'm getting in one of those cars that don't have a driver. Zero chance.
No, I'd be scared.
Nope.
I would be scared.
I will not drive.
Yeah, I know the Waymo cars in California, the cities where they have those self-driving cars and the cabs are sitting in the back seat and there's nobody driving. How could you possibly do that?
Isn't it?
You can't even blame a woman for that. You can't even blame a woman for that now.
I was in an Uber in San Francisco maybe 9 years ago, and I would have rather been in a driverless car. The car we got in reeked of weed. This person was weaving in and out of lanes. I'm just like, no, I don't want to. No, I don't want to do
so
this.
So you trust the computer?
I'd rather trust the computer than Tyrone smoking weed, or you know what I mean? Like
I would throw
Joe Bob smoking weed.
Phil, can you throw up a maybe a poll question? Would you drive? Would you be a passenger in a driverless taxi or Uber or Lyft? I wouldn't do it. I would still prefer somebody that smells like a blooming onion.
No. No, I would definitely trust a computer over.
But it smells like a blooming onion.
An Australian dude who smells like a blooming onion.
Give me the wretched, foul-smelling dude with no air conditioning.
Yeah,
I'll go out that way. Or a stalker said, Joe Bob smelling like weed, bobbing and weaving.
All right, let's see.
By the way, you want to talk about insanity? Here now in Cape Coral, Florida, you just drive through weed places.
Of course.
This is the amazing thing. Can you drive through a liquor store and have somebody hand you a bottle of Jim Beam?
Nope.
And then start so now you can drive through a weed place, get weed, and then start smoking it in your car.
Yep.
How the hell is that legal?
I know.
How does that make any sense?
I know.
If you want to vote on this, would you be a passenger in a driverless car?
I just already voted. I'm already in.
YouTube.com.
78% right now, 54 votes. I mean, the polls are open, and they're going hard. This may be the biggest turnout since Trump's landslide a couple of months ago.
Yep.
But will it take 3 weeks to get the results like California?
Only in California, yeah.
Okay.
Pennsylvania will still. Governor Shapiro will announce the results in 3 days from now.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to vote on it, or if you want to see the fun and frivolity and Tony Bruno's awesome turtle shirt. Those are turtles.
Is that turtles?
Yeah. They're not turtles.
Are you hiding
turtles?
A turtle?
No.
In your pants?
No.
Those are sunrises or sunsets.
It's sunrise and it's palm trees.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's got a nice orange shirt. Good.
I apologize. I'm
orange shirt. Good.
We have a funny turtle story coming up. So.
I'm looking at a smaller video. Sorry,
but never forget Orange Man Bad.
Tony, you didn't get a chance to weigh in on this. Nick did a big take on it this morning about the Department of Education slashing employees by 50%. Linda McMahon was on Laura Ingraham last night. She made the rounds last night. This is cut 28, Phil, if you want to roll this one.
So reports today said that the buildings were going to be closed for security reasons. What does that mean?
Well, when people left today and they got their notification to take their laptops and their phones home with them, and we didn't want part of the people who were being permanently let go and those who are remaining some of them show up to work tomorrow morning.
That's standard corporate practice.
So it was just standard corporate practice that we just locked the doors and said for those that are coming back will know that they'll be coming back on Thursday morning.
Were people given a chance to take any personal effects?
They were told that they would be allowed to come back. We would arrange for them to come back and take their personal effects with them and to say goodbye to some folks, too.
Randy,
that's awesome. Tony, your thoughts on Department of Education getting dozed?
Well, I heard you guys, because I'm up early. Even though I'm not on until 7:30-ish, I heard the big take, and I heard what you were talking about. And there's no doubt, it's broken. Our education system is broken in this country. And you don't need all these bureaucrats working, so you cut it in half, and you deal with teachers, not teachers' unions, even though the teachers' unions will still be in control. And that nutcase, what's her name?
Randy Weingarten.
The one who looks like a dude. Randy Weingarten is a psychopath. You know how much money she makes? What does she do? Nothing. She basically gives all the money from the teachers' unions to the Democratic Party. That's what they do. That's why they love the Democratic Party, because they get kickbacks. I want the teachers to be taken care of, and I want our kids to learn. Our kids are the dumb. We have the most technology. You have the access to anything you want right now on your phone, and kids are dumber than ever. And I'm not saying kids aren't mentally sharp enough. They're just been told that you got to do Common Core math, and if the answer is close enough, that's good enough.
Yeah.
No, we don't. It's not good enough.
Well,
2 + 2 is always going to be 4.
Right.
And when you do Common Core math and you try to dumb things down, the kids are going to stay dumb.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with social media. I guarantee you, if you gave a bunch of fifth graders a TikTok equivalency exam, they'd flash that. They would pass that thing with flying colors. I mean, I said this yesterday, which I couldn't believe. Tony, do you remember when you were in school, when your kids were in school, you know, in elementary school, you know, you would get a letter grade? My girls are in fifth grade in a good school district, in a good elementary school, and they do not get A's, B's, C's, D's, or F's. They get like below standard, meeting the whatever the threshold is, or exceeding it. I think that's outrageous.
Yeah, you got to go F's. If you get an F, you should be an F minus. I mean, you know, if you get an F, then you get an F plus, then you know there's progress.
That's right.
But it used to be A, B, C, D, E, F plus.
Yeah.
Now you get an F plus if you do better for one semester.
Yeah, that's
you know
right.
What I mean? Like spring break now. Spring break down here in Florida. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
F plus. Everybody's getting F pluses right now this week.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, if my parents told me if I came home with anything below a B minus, I was toast. Boy, when I came back with a couple of C pluses, boy, I was in deep crap.
They're coming back with F pluses. They're coming back with the measles. They're coming back with STDs.
Yes. We need to make the 90s great again.
By the way, there is a confirmed measles case now in California. Somebody from China, now in Los Angeles, has tested positive for measles. Mm. So we're still bringing in diseases from all over the world. And only 4 people, I think, have died of measles in the last couple of years. So now watch out for measles. Remember, because we had the avian flu, and then, so they were trying to say there's another COVID strain. It's called the common cold. So now all of a sudden, measles. Will there be a measles outbreak? Let's go to the phones.
610.
We will answer that coming up, by the way, because Dr. Paul Offit was on with CNN yesterday discussing all of this, and the measles outbreak came up. But before we break and finish more, Rosie O'Donnell has announced that she's moving or she has moved out of the country.
Yes.
Roll it, Phil.
And I'm here in Ireland.
Wow.
And it's beautiful and warm, not physically. It's actually quite cold. Mm. Moved here on January 15th, and it's been pretty wonderful, I have to say. The people are so loving and so kind, so welcoming, and I'm very grateful. I'm in the process of getting my Irish citizenship, as I have Irish grandparents, and that's what's going on, and that's where I've been and what I've been doing. And although I was never someone who thought I would move to another country, that's what I decided would be the best for myself and my 12-year-old child.
Yep.
There you go.
Well, there she is. I'm actually going
to took her squirrel. What happened to her squirrels? Wasn't she outside looking at squirrels in her backyard just a couple of weeks ago?
I think the New York authorities executed that squirrel. They took that sucker right out. Remember that story? I'm actually going to take a different stance here. I'm going to give Rosie O'Donnell, if in fact she really is in Ireland, and we can't tell because
she is in Ireland.
If she truly is there, then I give her credit for following through when a bunch of these other Hollywood D-bags. I'm going to leave. And they never do. She followed through with it.
By the way, I hate to tell Rosie, but like I think like abortion is illegal in Ireland.
Oh, so I don't think their rights aren't as great as they are here.
For a progressive like Rosie, I don't think it's the bastion of freedom that she thinks it is, according to her.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like if that was
speaking of that, there's a guy in Ireland who's coming back to the United States. He was in jail for 500 days. For misgendering somebody. it's a real story.
Yeah.
There was an Irishman who was in this country, in his own country, misgendered somebody, and they put him in jail for 500 days.
Yep.
And now he's coming back to the United States to tell his story.
Yeah.
So don't give me about, you know, you go to other countries. Ireland is not the old Ireland from back in the days.
Right. Ireland is super woke until the pints start to kick in.
Yeah, I was going to say, couldn't he just use the excuse that he was drunk?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, most Irish people are. And by the way,
That only works next Monday. Come on.
I'm 25% Irish.
I can say that because I am also Irish. We should break. And on the other side.
Hey, by the way, too, apparently Trump is talking with Ireland on trade deals.
Yeah.
If, in fact, Rosie is sent back as part of that trade deal, mm-hmm. I say we slap a 200% tariff on Ireland.
We have RFK Jr. on with Hannity. Part two of that interview aired last night. And Dawn is correct. A piece of information that has not been out public, RFK Jr. announced this last night. We will play that. Also, there is a country music duo from Tennessee who wanted to play their new hit song, and a local TV station there read the lyrics and told them not to. You may say, well, were they vulgar? Was there racial slurs mm-hmm. in it? No, it's just about being patriotic, and if you don't like this country, leave.
Yeah.
So we will have that song also on the other side, because we're not afraid to play things here.
That's correct. And I actually have a history with this channel in Nashville.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
Cool.
We'll talk about that. Kale and Company with Tony Bruno, live here on this Wednesday morning, 8:30, and we're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Got a little magic, family-owned kitchen magic. Making dream kitchens come true and come to life for more than 45 years. Local employer, they have endless options, colors, styles, and expert guidance. Kitchen Magic has brought more than 60,000 beautiful American-made kitchens to life with all new cabinetry or refacing countertops, all those important storage solutions. And the best part? Right now, you can enjoy 40% off installation. This is unheard of. When you visit kitchenmagic.com. Yeah, this is amazing. 40% off installation. Just visit them, kitchenmagic.com. Schedule your free in-home design consultation. If you go to kitchenmagic.com, they have some cool features there where you can, they really bring your dream kitchen alive. And it's very personalized. I want you to do this. KitchenMagic.com. 40% off installation. What are you waiting for? Kitchen Magic, where magic happens every day. KitchenMagic.com. Do this and tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Richard Notaro, nobody cares about what Rosie Dogface does and where she lives. All right, Rich. When you do your show, I'll be sure to tweet you and tell you what's pertinent and not. Thanks, Dick. Love those people. I don't care about that, but I took the time to tweet you.
My face. Palestinian protesters were outside of Eric Adams' house yesterday, protesting and fighting with police. This is Cut 23. I don't know if you guys saw this last night. Roll some of this. You can see the video here. These people all in the headscarves and mm-hmm. their faces covered and ugh.
Yeah, why do they have to cover their faces?
Because they're coward scumbags.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I guess they still have some money left, the Democrats, to send out their paid pro. There's actually ads. They're paying these people $40 an hour to go out there and do this stuff. Yeah. Do you realize that?
Wow.
The good news is all these people losing their jobs, at least they can go out and make $40 an hour as a paid protester.
Right.
And you can protest anything you want, whether it's burning up Teslas or putting headscarves on and assaulting police. I mean, there's a lot of good jobs for insurrectionists. I guess these people aren't being called insurrectionists. You notice that?
No.
These are not insurrectionists because they didn't go through the Capitol where police were walking people in and opening doors for them.
I can't wait to see the headline. The radio industry faces a producer shortage as being a paid protester for Palestine pays triple the salary. That was a joke. That was a bad joke, I guess.
Do they get 1099s, by the way, for that? They have to show that they got it.
My whole issue with it is, you know, if you're wearing, you know, the apparel, so to speak, because it's, you know, your religion or your country or whatever, I got that. I might disagree with your message, but wear what you want. I just love when we have these little punk Ivy League kids that aren't of Palestinian descent dressing up like they're playing pretend with the scarves and the headdress and all of that. I got a little Bobby from the main line who all of a sudden thinks he's fighting the righteous cause and he's an uneducated clown. Forget being deported or being arrested. These parents should be embarrassed. If I ever catch my kid in college protesting on behalf of Gaza, they're not even going to have time to flunk out. I'm going to drive down and pull them out.
RFK Jr. was on with Hannity last night. It was the second of a two-part interview.
I was looking for beef tallow yesterday. I was in BJ's, and they didn't have any beef tallow. So that's going to be there's going to be a shortage of beef tallow now.
Have you ever cooked with beef tallow, Tony?
No. I mean, pork fat used to rule when Emeril Lagasse was.
You jack it up a few notches. Yeah. Bam!
Pork fat rules. Bam!
Yeah.
Put a little more pork fat and some beef tallow in it. Bam!
By the way, Emeril Lagasse still better than Guy Fieri. I'll die on that hill.
Wow.
Guy's still kicking it. Poor Emeril's now selling ovens on QVC.
Oh, is he?
My mom used to watch Emeril back in the late 90s. She loved that show.
My parents actually went to
a live taping. That's awesome. Yeah. I would love to be at a place where Guy Fieri goes to do his little Triple D at. And some of those places. By the way, don't ever watch Triple D if your grocery shopping is not scheduled till the next day.
Yep.
And your refrigerator is empty, because you can't get through it without ordering food.
All right, what piece of personal information did RFK Jr. out for President Trump? Dawn said this about an hour and a half ago. But, you know, we eventually pay off our teases.
Right.
If it's not today, it'll be tomorrow or Friday or next week.
Yeah.
What personal information about President Trump
personal.
did RFK Jr. out? Roll it.
That's what we should be doing.
You do work for a boss, although he is getting healthier. He's really...
I saw him yesterday, and I think he's lost 30 pounds.
Okay, he looks great, and he told me he's not using, for example, if he has a burger now, he usually doesn't have it with a bun. He's made...
Oh, I didn't know that he was actually changing his diet.
Oh, you didn't know that part?
No.
Okay, well, we did talk about it. I hope I'm not revealing something I shouldn't.
Wow.
And, but more importantly...
I have to say this, and even with all the... Can I say crap that he eats?
By the way, the picture with you, it was like a hostage video when you were on the plane holding a piece of pizza. I'm like, all right, this is crazy.
But he has a genetic system.
Second to none.
He does like
McDonald's. He does like, what's his other?
If you don't like McDonald's, you should not get on the airplane with him.
Don't get on the airplane.
No, don't get on.
KFC.
Yeah.
And he likes pizza, and he loves Diet Coke. Do you have a problem with sugary drinks or Diet Coke? You do?
Yes. And
you're not going to ban it.
I'm not going to take them away from people, but we shouldn't be subsidizing them. We shouldn't, as you said, 10% of food stamps, which are federally...
All right, so Donald Trump has lost 30 pounds by cutting out the carbs.
All right. Cutting out the carbs.
Well, his clubhead speed is tremendous, I heard. I heard his clubhead speed is better than ever.
Yeah, it's actually up there with Rory McIlroy's now. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean... You can't not look at Trump now and 5 years ago and not see that he lost weight. I mean, he obviously did.
But we've confirmed it and how he's doing it, because if he's eating the McDonald's,
he's eating McDonald's without a bun,
he's eating the KFC without that biscuit.
Without the biscuit. So that's how you can lose 30 pounds?
Yeah.
Who needs Ozempic? Just ditch the buns.
It's true. It's the South Beach diet.
Oh, it's
that's big. I mean, I don't know what he's on. He's doing low carb, but it's basically the South Beach stuff.
I've seen the pictures from him, like in 2015, 2016. The face was a little fatter then.
Yeah.
I guess a little bit. I've never really noticed it.
I mean, RFK Jr. is in
really
tremendous
fit.
Shape. He really is.
Oh, yeah.
For 71 or whatever he's at. He's at, I mean, not just for 71, but the fact that he is 71 is really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I saw a story maybe back around the election or in the summer that he was doing more soups and salads. I don't know where I remember seeing that being published, but that's a decent way to go as well. Carbs are, they always say there's good carbs and bad carbs.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, the carbs are just, that's my weakness. That's why I can't, no matter how much I limit drinking or how much I exercise, I love carbs. It's just pasta and pizza and a good Amoroso's roll. They kill you.
Don't forget Licio's, too, now.
And Licio's.
Licio's, Amoroso. Yeah.
More Vito's.
Philly bread's the best. I mean, there's no doubt. Philly in New York.
That's why we're all
slobs. There's good bread down here, but the water, the water down here sucks. That's why the bread's not as good down here in Florida.
It's always about the water. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. Please hit the like and subscribe buttons while you're there. Please help us raise that subscriber count. Please hit the like and subscribe button, even if you're not watching.
Yeah, we got to get over 10,000 subscribers by the end of the day, or I refuse to leave the airwaves.
Are you going to go on strike like Angel Reese?
Hell no, won't go.
I will go on strike.
All right,
until I can miss a layup, and then. By the way, you know that league is now. They have that unrivaled league where there's nobody in the stands.
Yep.
Nobody botches that, but they're going to go watch the WNBA where they can't even make layups.
Well, what's the difference? On, what's the difference? The WNBA doesn't get a crowd either.
Speaking of Angel Reese, she was on some podcast where she threatens to sit out WNBA games if she doesn't start getting paid more.
I want this league to go under.
Roll it.
Desperately.
We all did it. Yeah, the CBA is coming up. I can't wait. So y'all benefited from everything. Y'all youngins benefited from NIL.
What does that mean? We deserve more.
Of course.
Everybody.
I agree.
Everybody.
I agree with that.
But we got to get face to consequences. Damn, we got to get it up.
Y'all
got to
do something. Y'all got to do something.
But the women coming in, not this year, but next year. Because the ones coming this year will still be on the rookie contract again.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that the year after, they're going to get more. They probably going to be making more than us.
No, they are.
I'm hurt.
They are. I've been in the meetings. They are.
I need to get in the field.
You need to come to the meetings.
I need to get in the meetings because I'm hearing they don't give us, if y'all don't give us what we want, we sit out.
That's a possibility. For real.
Yeah.
Good. Sit out.
For real.
Nobody's going to pay you.
For real.
It's been a league that they've been around for over 30 years. They've never turned a profit. Yeah, I mean,
last year with Caitlin Clark,
you
know, actually becoming the main story in the league, and these are good players. I'm not saying these girls aren't good players, but Caitlin Clark re-energized the league, and they still lost money.
Yes.
She was filling up buildings everywhere. She was the person everybody wanted to see. She would go into buildings that couldn't draw half a crowd and pack them in.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they going to do this year? Now, there's some good players in college, but nobody's moving the needle like Caitlin Clark did last year. And Angel Reese, she's a good player. But when you see clips of her missing layups and coming under the basket, I mean, it looks like I can get kids off the street to play better basketball, fundamental basketball.
Yeah.
You know, obviously these girls are good players, but they're not as good as they think they are.
And she's also getting a lot of money with her McDonald's endorsement that she recently had.
Exactly.
So you're not going to, it's no different, honestly, than the PGA Tour, where you have these guys that they make a good living in golfing, but they really make their cash with endorsements. She's probably making, I think I saw the average salary in the WNBA is about $73,000, which doesn't go very far, but her endorsements are probably going to quadruple that. So, again, the market.
Yeah,
the market
will dictate. On that show, they got all these sponsorship deals. They got all these energy drinks, so they're making money. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear this. Well, we're not making any money. Ridiculous. Then get a regular job.
Yeah.
For real.
I'd love to play basketball for $70,000 a year.
Yeah, there should have been subtitles for that because I really didn't understand.
I actually thought that was Wendy Williams interviewing her.
Poor Wendy.
By the way, she just got put in a facility. She's lost.
That's sad. Yeah,
she's got.
Sad.
What does she have? She has Alzheimer's, dementia.
No, but it's something like that, something neurological, like that. And she has a conservatorship, and now she's fighting it. Yeah. It's really tragic.
It is, actually. I was reading about that.
So we spoke a lot about this Muhammad Khalil, who was the head of this the Palestinian protest that was happening on Columbia's campus. Doesn't go here.
Oh, of course.
Doesn't go there.
Like I've been saying.
Was a student at one time, but not recently. And he was, they want him, arrested, deported?
Pull the visa, and you're booted from the country.
I believe his court hearing's today.
There's been a lot of back and forth about the freedom of speech aspect of this. Senator Kennedy was on Laura Ingraham's show last night discussing this. This is what he said. This is cut 32.
My boy.
32.
John Kennedy. Yeah. Louisiana.
32?
Yeah, there he is. There's that big.
The ACLU is defending Mr. Khalil. They say this is a freedom of speech case. I support freedom of speech. How else would we know who the idiots are without freedom of speech? This case is not about freedom of speech. It's about civilized behavior. It's about national security. It's about terrorism. Mr. Khalil is not an American citizen. He's here with a green card. By word and deed, at Columbia, he's shown that he supports Hamas. That's a violation of the Immigration and Naturalization Act, which says you can be deported if you support a terrorist organization.
Novel concept.
Here's the bottom line. Mr. Khalil hates America, as you said in your monologue. You know, if you're not happy where you are, move. You're not a tree. Secretary Rubio is going to help him move. We may lose in district court, depending on the judge that we get, but we'll win this in the Supreme Court.
I love this guy. I mean, it really is to me. I mean, he gave you all of the legal analysis you could ever ask for. You're not protected based on your status. This doesn't fall under free speech. You can't be sympathizing and publicly supporting a terrorist organization. You have no right to be on that campus. Dawn, Columbia is a private institution, correct? So,
but they all get federal funds.
Oh,
that's why they're pulling, what, $400 million?
What do you think their endowment is? $2.5 billion?
Yeah. And Harvard, all these schools, why do they need our federal money?
Yeah,
now, they did lose. There was a federal district court in Manhattan. So that was Monday. They blocked Khalil's deportation. But there's still, this will make its way through the courts. Because he was accused of, they caught him, they say, distributing these pro-terrorist, pro-Hamas type, you know, pamphlets, all this material. And so they've said that this is a criminal element and he should absolutely be deported.
Mm-hmm.
So they continue. The court proceedings continue.
Yep.
And you can tell the people on the wrong side of this issue are the same people who used to like electric vehicles and used to be about saving the climate and all the other stuff. Now they're on the side of this guy. Listen, I'm about free speech, too. But this guy is on video committing acts of violence and terrorism. I mean, it can't be any more black and white than that.
I agree.
The bottom line is this guy is not just a terrorist sympathizer. He's entitled to free speech. He has committed crimes. And when you try to go to another country and commit crimes and see how long you're allowed to stay in that country, it doesn't work that way.
It's just amazing with all these colleges and universities, specifically the Ivy Leagues, because this is where we're seeing a lot of this stuff pop up, or the big private schools that are very expensive to go to. Now, all of a sudden, they believe in free speech, but for well over, and I'm just going over the last 5-6 years, but we know academia, very left-leaning, very liberal. They don't seem to value free speech when it comes to a conservative or a Trump supporter, but they actually sympathize with somebody that's supporting and advocating for a terrorist organization. Now you want to play the First Amendment free speech game. It doesn't work that way.
I don't know if you guys saw this. This is Tucker Carlson had on Chris Cuomo.
Oh,
and they were discussing the JFK files. And Tucker outed Senator Tom Cotton as being the one who's blocking the release of the
Tucker says, not Cuomo.
Files. No, Tucker Carlson said that Tom Cotton, and he said, quote, I know this as a fact. Tom Cotton is blocking the release of the JFK files. Tom Cotton was on, this is Cut 34, Phil. Tom Cotton was on the, I think he was on Fox News last night. I'm not sure which one. And he claims that this is completely false.
Okay.
So which one of them is telling the truth? Roll it.
Last thing before I let you go, Daily Mail article. Tucker Carlson has claimed that Republican Senator Tom Cotton has been working behind the scenes to block the release of the JFK assassination files. In a conversation with Chris Cuomo, Carlson claimed the Arkansas lawmaker prevented a key intelligence hire in the Trump cabinet in order to stop the full release of the classified documents. Your response?
It's false. I have
completely
no
false. Completely nothing false. Nothing to it.
I have no problem releasing the JFK files. Tucker could have called or texted me. He has texted me multiple times in recent weeks and asked me, and I would have told him that. I've never spoken to President Trump or any of his associates or administration officials about the JFK files. I've never objected to someone taking office because of their position on the JFK files. I have to say I have complete faith in Kash Patel, Pam Bondi, John Ratcliffe, and Tulsi Gabbard to carry out President Trump's directive on the JFK files. I'm a little surprised that Tucker Carlson apparently doesn't have faith in those four people, all of whom I think he knows and personally respect, that they're going to carry out President Trump's directive.
But you're convinced, as Senate Intelligence Committee chair, that all of that is going to happen despite all the stuff online, that and the Epstein files somehow are going to not get out.
Well, to be clear, I don't really know what the so-called JFK files might contain. I've read news reports that there's about 3,000 documents that have not been released yet. I think they're going through a declassification review process at the Department of Justice, at the DNI and the CIA. Again, I have total confidence in Kash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard and John Ratcliffe and Pam Bondi that they'll release those as appropriate as the president directed.
Senator,
I have no problem with that.
We always appreciate you.
You know, I've always liked Tom Cotton. I think he's kind of a relatively low-energy, straight shooter. He never really gives me the attention horror vibes like some in Congress or in the Senate. But why would Tucker Carlson, and I'm no Tucker apologist, why would Tucker single out Tom Cotton in an interview with Cuomo if they're, and according to the way, Stocker, you framed it, that he knew for a fact that it's Cotton that's holding these things up? I mean, who's, if that's true, then my question is, who the hell's Cotton trying to protect, right?
Well, they all know. The bottom line is, once these are released, they're going to be so heavily redacted that they may as well not even release.
Well, they better not be, because we were told there would not be redactions other than victims'
names.
They
have to redact. They're going to redact every single one of these files. There's 3,000 files in there. I guarantee you most of them are redacted. That's the problem, because there is no transparency.
Right.
Everybody gets excited about the release of this stuff, and then when it's released, it's all blacked out.
Well, we were told,
to protect, who are we protecting anymore?
Right.
Well, there's JFK and
multiple things.
Martin Luther King had been dead for decades.
Right. JFK, RFK, Epstein. But I know specifically we were told there'd be no redactions on the Epstein one. I'm going to be pissed.
It's not names, guys. It's they're protecting agencies. They're protecting the FBI.
Yeah. Well, then they lied to us. That's... Then this administration lied. We were told transparency. So I don't want to hear.
Impeach.
I don't want to hear Trump. I don't want to hear about draining the swamp anymore. Then Trump, don't BS me.
I'm just telling you.
We need Al Green to come back out today and talk about impeachment.
And by the way,
I want him to get that cane today and go back out in front of the Capitol and start talking, drawing up articles of impeachment.
And I know I'm singling out Trump here, but what does he have to lose at this point? He's been shot already. Was the CIA going to kill him if he releases it?
I mean, that's
Secret Service going to tank again.
That is my only theory on why they haven't done it yet. But that doesn't explain why Kash Patel and Pam Bondi haven't done it.
Oh, and full disclosure too. And I know I've been critical of Pam Bondi. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I care more about her and Kash Patel doing their real jobs of actually, rounding up criminals, prosecuting people, arresting domestic terroristic threats, foreign invaders, things like that. At the end of the day, do I need to know about Epstein? It's not really going to change my life. Do I need to know about JFK? It's not really going to change my life. But I'm consistent from the standpoint of, you ran on it. You said we would get it. You said full transparency. So don't jerk me off.
Wow.
What?
Yes.
Tom Cotton is the chairman of many committees, but including the intelligence. He's the chairman of the Select Committee on Intelligence. And so this is where I'm just trying. I always try to wrap my brain around why Tucker is hearing this. Mm-hmm. I suspect it's something that came out of the Committee on Intelligence and Cotton's connection to that committee, and then those who he's gotten to know through the Select Committee on Intelligence. That's the root of this, no doubt.
We have more.
He's also the Subcommittee on Emerging Threats and Capabilities. Did you know these subcommittees existed?
No.
And the Subcommittee on Strategic Forces, on Cybersecurity. I just suspect that that's where this is rooted, that somewhere in there with these committees, they have sourcing that says, hey, this is a threat to national intelligence or threats to capabilities, etc. So we're parsing words, in other words. Sorry.
No. We have to break. You're right.
Oh, yeah. I'm good. I thought you had one more.
No, we have to break. It's
tired of all these people that talk a good game. You better be able to back it up.
By the way, we still have that country song coming up.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's been banned by a news station. Is it a news station?
WSM? Not yeah. WSM. It's WSM something else.
WSMV.
WSMB.
Yeah, FM. WSMV.
V. Okay.
Yeah. It's, right. I think it's the NBC affiliate in gotcha. Nashville. Which tried
and it's a news talk station. It's not a music station.
No, no. It's like NBC 10. It's like Channel 10 here in Philly.
Right.
It's the NBC TV affiliate, not radio.
We'll get to all that on the other side.
All right. Kale and Company. And remember, if you're going to say you're going to do it, folks, you better do it. All right?
Do it.
Do it.
Because I believe
satisfied.
In accountability.
Yeah.
Do it.
I don't care if you have an R in front of your name.
Do it to be satisfied.
You're not going to make a fool out of me. I got to deal with my mother-in-law Thanksgiving. And she's got receipts, too. That's I have why. To answer for them.
Yeah.
Does she have receipts for the gas that you're... That you're
no, she doesn't ooh, know about that. And Stalker's going to keep it. And anytime that gets brought up, we'll just hit the dump button.
Dawn, talk to us about natural
Take lawn. Us away, Dawn.
Oh, because we got to talk about Natural Lawn of America. People come into my house and they say for years now, they go, wow, what was that? That's a hummingbird? And then the butterflies. You know how they keep saying butterflies are disappearing and going extinct? And they're like, look at all the butterflies in your lawn. And I say, Natural Lawn of America, people. That's one of the many reasons that I've chosen Natural Lawn of America. Doesn't it just make sense that if you're choosing a lawn care service, you want to hire a company that provides better results and is safer for your family, for your pets, for the environment? And multiple reasons why my family, why we've chosen Natural Lawn of America for years now. That's my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without all those harsh chemicals. Don't do that. They use environmentally friendly products. That's why I'm talking about the butterflies and the hummingbirds. So not only is your lawn going to be lush and green and beautiful, but also protects the safety of your family and pets. From the organic fertilizer to the safer weed and insect controls, they're going to make sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. And you don't have to take my word for it. Just look at the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn Safer Services. Just start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Maybe you don't care about the eco issue. Maybe you don't care about the butterflies or the birds. You just want that beautiful, lush lawn. Okay. Then you be you, still get Natural Lawn of America. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program. Do this today, and you get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier, lush lawn plus the free seeding, call Natural Lawn, 800-FREE-SEED, 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.